Welcome to the Unruggable Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Maishi.
And I'm Ella. Today we're talking to Akhil Sesh about his NFT project, The Warp Speed, his work with Wufong Productions, and last but not least, his work as a community manager for the Feudals project.
So we've done seven episodes on Twitter Spaces. Okay. And awesome. We're doing now episodes on Zoom interviews. You know, just we're probably going to get another co-host soon. So it'll be like a four people. Okay. And maybe even do multiple guests at a time. We're still figuring out that dynamic. Cool. The plan is to launch in 3 weeks, the podcast. March 14th. That's the date.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we have a great team, and just we need one more co-host right now. That's what we're looking for.
And I'd love to, you know, even if just as a listener or whatever, just someone who chimes in, join your Twitter Spaces. I just think the last one was way too early for me. Like I used to wake up at 7 a.m. every day, but after the degen lifestyle took over, I got to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, I think after this Thursday. We're gonna keep it to this one. I think after this Thursday, you know, I have to speak it over with Ella. I think we're gonna switch it to a time that's better for the East Coast.
Yeah.
For the East Coast, it's 8 a.m. and that's a bit too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. You know, it's all right. You know, this is set up. The podcast is there's a Latin phrase for it. It escapes me right now. Start something and work on it rather than never start, because you're always perfection, always working to perfect.
I learned like that too. And that's how I got into NFT space. Like I was kind of observing from a distance for a while, but I learned by diving right in. And I don't really recommend, you know, all the friends that I've onboarded, I tell them, hey, come join the space, interact with people, engage with people, get on Twitter Spaces, ask questions, provide value, whatever, just be you, be genuine. And then, you know, if you want to drop something after a few months of doing that. But I kind of did it the opposite way, but I don't think I would have gotten so involved if I hadn't. So it wouldn't change a thing.
You know, worked out for you. You know, you sold out your collection.
Yeah, exactly.
How many pieces were in your collection?
I think it was 40.
40. Nice. Listen, it's a nice thing, you know, to start off with in the space.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There were moments where I was like, damn, I shouldn't have dropped 40. It's too many. Like, it's so hard being an NFT artist. Like, even people who are on Twitter every day talking in Twitter Spaces, doing all the right things, sometimes even they go, and they have incredible work, they go months without even selling one thing, right? But I truly am a believer that, you know, NFTs reward people just for showing up every day, and you get out what you put in. And effort is ultimately rewarded. You know, you just have to keep working at it and maintain a positive outlook, and your time will come.
That's lovely. You know, it's lovely to hear, lovely to say. Practically speaking, right? Let's get down to it.
Yeah.
How are you pushing sales?
So I think it's genuinely building relationships with one person at a time. And for me, I think I was in a little bit of an advantageous seat, because, you know, I already had a little bit of a following before. I had a check mark and all that stuff. So when I was in Twitter Spaces, I was kind of automatically bumped up to the top. And also just my personality lends itself well to this space, that, you know, I enjoy talking with other people. And especially, you know, because due to the pandemic and because I had Crohn's, I was kind of itching to talk to people because I wasn't going out and socializing. And now all of a sudden, Twitter kind of transformed its platform into basically an NFT socializing platform. And so, you know, it was amazing for me to just stay at home and talk to all these amazing, smart, forward-thinking people from the comfort of my own home. And so I think, you know, as I kept talking in Twitter spaces and interacting with people on the timeline, it was just, you know, building those relationships day by day and telling my story, right? And I think that's a big thing. All the collectors who bought, they didn't just blindly buy in. I mean, a couple of them may have, but it was because of the relationships that I had built with other people, checking with them every day, talking with them, and then having, you know, even calls with them and telling them the story about, you know, where my mindset was, what was going on, the actions when I actually took the image. Like, these are the type of things that collectors want to know, the stories behind who you are and what was happening when you took that or made that image, right? And I think so. There's no real shortcut or like formula other than just being yourself, you know, getting out there, maximizing your exposure by being on spaces and telling your story.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that.
And also, I think one thing, because I get on calls with people and they do these things, but I think the part that they miss is expressing your personality. Let your personality shine, right? You could do everything that I just mentioned, but kind of fall into that like robotic, like, okay, I'm going to go in Twitter spaces. I'm going to post here. I'm going to engage. But like me, I joke around also on Twitter. I like to have fun. And then I can get serious too, right? I think it's very important to showcase your personality for people to relate to you on a personal level as well.
Right. That's awesome. That's great advice. And mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, really helps you build up that core audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for 40 NFTs, you could sell out your collection like that, which you did. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the 10K collections, right? Or you got, how much does Feudals have? 5K?
It's 4,400, but we have other collections too, right?
Right. There's another like four of them.
Yeah, there's orcs and elves, which are 10,000 each. And then the lands are 4,000 now. And we were going to release a bunch more soon after we launch V2. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a lot. But I mean, everything is integrated properly into the game and with the lore and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it kind of puts things into perspective, right? Like, I had trouble selling 40. You can imagine, you know, a project comes along and trying to sell 10K. So yeah, and even still, even 10K, if you really zoom out and see from the Web2 mentality, when a big company comes along and drops a product, usually it's like millions of people buying into it, right? And so from that perspective, even 10K is not that much. So I think it's all a matter of perspective and zooming out.
You know, it's funny. I run a marketing agency. I co-founded mm-hmm. a marketing agency called NFT Once. Mm-hmm. And our goal, you know, is to influence the metaverse. You know, mm-hmm. one project at a time, one artist at a time. And when a project, you know, approaches us to work with us, I have them fill out a questionnaire mm-hmm. and, you know, 9 out of 10 projects don't make it past the questionnaire. And there's that one question that seems to really plague them.
Uh-huh.
Why should I buy your NFT?
Huh.
Now, that seems very like, you know, juvenile, like, you know, you just spent $250,000 on a project to get your, you know, before you even go to marketing, you know, you're mm-hmm. you're paying a developer $30 to $50K a month. You have your graphic artist, you have the, mm-hmm. the artist, you have you know, your there's so many people who go into a staff for a big project, right? Mm-hmm. And why should I buy your NFT? And if your answer is something that another project can duplicate, again, why right. should I buy your NFT?
Right. That's
what is true. Your unique X factor? What stands out about your project?
That's a good point, especially with a lot of things getting, you know, saturated now. And I think, that's why your feudals kind of stood out, right? At the time, there weren't any play-to-earn games, and the community really banded together organically right away. A lot of like-minded individuals with similar interests. Excuse me?
Also, like, to be on Ethereum, that's a great move. You know, you have versus, you know, the Solana play-to-earn game. They mint another one every other minute.
Yeah. And you know, we're always innovating as well as feudals. I mean, we're one of the, like, can we swear on here?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, let me talk my shit for a second. We were one of the first development, like, our developers are complete rock stars. When people were minting feudals, they were paying $10 to $20 in gas. And we put all our smart contracts on our websites, and big, you know, I know for a fact, bigger projects did copy our contracts, but you know, the proof is in the blockchain. But you know, we took it even a step further. All our game mechanics, game actions, and everything is now off chain. So our community is playing the game without paying any gas fees, right? And so even minting, usually there's two gas fees. Now we're doing minting with off chain golds. So like, we're always and constantly innovating, and I guarantee you people see what we're doing, and we're going to see off-chain stuff come into play here more.
Greatest compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Yeah, you know, it's really incredible, like the innovation that, you know, that you guys did at that, you know, at that point in NFT history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those who are hip and those who are in our community, I think they know. I think that's why we have, you know, such an amazing community who believes in us in the long run. And, you know, I'm constantly talking to these guys, not just in voice chat and Twitter and stuff, but I take personal calls with our community members. And we don't just talk about feudals too. I'll, you know, we'll talk about some of the stuff we even talked about today. A lot of our community members are artists themselves, and they're asking me, hey, how can I get my project taken off, and things like that. And so I'll take personal calls. And I think because of that, like, I'm so grateful to all the relationships that I've built within the community. Like, these are my, you know, brothers and sisters for life. And I kind of joke with them, you're stuck with me for life, guys. I'm sorry. But truly speaking, I think it's reciprocated as well by the community. Many times people have told me, like, hey, we're riding this project till the very end, no matter where it goes. And so I think that's a very special bond that we've built there inside the Feudals ecosystem.
Yeah, that's incredible. Ella, you spoke before about young people, you know, who are being very innovative and very innovative.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really, really nice to see. I mean, you are seeing a lot of people of all age ranges joining this space, but it does feel like the demographic is slightly skewed towards the younger end. But what's the problem with that? It's a great thing. You know, I think the key thing is it's about people's values and how they treat each other, as opposed to any kind of, you know, number or identity factor or whatever, or where you're from in the world or whatever. But yeah, it's nice. I just wish this had all been around like 20 years ago. But then I'm kind of glad I missed all, you know, what can I say? I'm looking at it from a different perspective. But
I mean, the OGs in DeFi, I think Colby, you know, he has that Up Only podcast. He got in around 2012, if I'm not mistaken. So there are kind of the OGs in the space. But yeah, hindsight is always 2020, right? You know, like, I always have dreams or nightmares about what I was doing in 2017 and why I didn't get more, you know, claim these crypto punks. But that's a different story.
Here's the question Ella, you know, about young people in the space being more innovative, because I guess it's because they're more risk adverse, just because they have less they're less risk adverse because they have less to be responsible for. And they have more time to screw up and recover.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a great
point. And that's a good thing. And, it really is.
Yeah, and here's the point that you said before to bring it all back about you wish you had it 20 years ago. I had people, you know, artists who've been struggling for 20 years to get into a gallery. And then they, you know, getting into a gallery as an artist is almost, you know, equivalent to, you know, they're different worlds, but equivalent to, you know, getting signed to a label. The way they have the same gatekeeping and connections, and they take all your money, same kind of concept. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, NFTs come and they're like, that's like, you know, you've been chained up for years and this was your first taste of freedom. And they're like, what do you mean your project didn't sell out overnight? Like, you got to hustle for it. And you have these kids who are 12 years old who they just got their iPad for Christmas and they're making NFTs. And like, you know, their best friend across the street just made $1 million selling a inverted, upside down, inside out CryptoPunk on Solana and called it a SoulPunk 3D Twisted. And, you know, and he's like, why is my Twisted version on Cardano not doing the same thing?
Yeah. And that brings up the point that I was trying to make more too, right? In general, people only see the highlights. They don't see the work that was put into it behind the scenes, right? You only see that headline, that figure, such and such sold for this figure, this $1 million figure. But we don't know how many years that person was working, how many months they were, you know, was leading up to the launch. You know, even just a stealth launch, right? Even take Feudals, for example. Yes, we were a stealth launch, but that project was ready to go for months. Right. And so, but people don't see that. They just see you on IC tools for a second and they think you just popped out of nowhere.
Sure. You know, and all
behind
all,
every.
Yeah. You know,
what's that line? Sorry.
go ahead.
I apologize. I do apologize, man. We'll sort this out. Maybe there's a lag or something. I was going to say, what's that line behind every overnight success is years and years of hard work? Absolutely. I think it's a Steve Jobs quote. But that's exactly what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yeah. Ella, you know, when a new musician pops up on the scene, right? A new Billboard star. How often did they really just pop up, or more times than not, were they actually grinding for years? Now they got signed to a new label, got rebranded, got a new haircut. They got a new advance to get their new car, their new friends, a new model, the new house, and now they're shooting a music video. And they're number one on all the radios, which are controlled by the same labels.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
So, you know, you see a NF, right? Big star right now. Mm-hmm. How many years the guy put in before he became NF? How many years went by, you know, a different name? You know, G-Eazy, 14 years before he ever, you know, that recognition.
Russ
put out what, like 13 albums or something?
He put out a song every week, and over 10 albums,
something like that. Russ put out double digits album before he got recognition. Like,
crazy
level of dedication. Like, how many people are have the capability to do that?
No, it's tough. And it's also having that belief in yourself too, right? Which is very important. Like, every song, every album that Russ put out, he always thought, like, this is the one, right? And he kept going, right? And I think that's something that artists struggle with too, a little bit of, you know, self-doubt. But it's, I think it's really important that don't let sales and everything define, you know, your belief in your art and in yourself. You just got to keep, you know, thinking about the long-term vision and know that, you know, you have what it takes to make it.
Yeah. And, you know, and you have that thought in your head and you kind of like, you acknowledge it, you kind of know it, but then you see, like, you know, Russ on TikTok doing an open verse challenge and some kid who never posted a video before, zero followers or anything, hops on TikTok, goes, you know, viral overnight. Mm-hmm. And gets a song, you know, let's say with Russ, right? Or you have Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, breaking records because a new media player drops. And you have some old heads who are like, you know, this is the reverse part where they're not like, I understand it. They're like, what the heck? You know, it's like you have a, who are you hopping into space and your first thing you ever did? No studio time, no nothing. You had a little you didn't even have earpods. You had the Apple Buds with the mic there, and you're holding it like this with your hoodie on in your friend's car, and they could really see your face, and you just went viral overnight.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. I think we're in a day and age where anything can go viral. It's not about, you know, production value and anything anymore. It's about how are people emotionally connecting to the piece of content that you just put out. And with platforms like TikTok, with their algorithm, you never know where that's going to come from.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you have people there who are putting in the work, they're doing what you say, they're going into spaces, they're making those personal connections. And they're like, I just spent 30 days, I made 30 connections, that's great. This guy put out one video and got 30 million followers. So, you know, what's the deal?
Yeah, and like I said before, those are kind of the outliers, kind of setting the standard for people and kind of disillusioning people and stuff also. But, you know, you cannot predict those outliers, and they happen randomly. But what you can control is how much work you put in. And if there's a formula that has been proven before Web 2, before Web 1, before internet even existed, is hard work. Right? You know, consistency and hard work and making sure that you're putting out your best foot forward with the best quality product or content or whatever it is, right? And so that's always going to remain constant.
You know, that question of, you know, what do you tell the person who's working hard and he sees all the I think how you put it, anomalies, the outliers, outliers who are out there. Right. I equate it to, you know, a guy who's working a job for 40 years. And then another guy, you know, wins the lotto. Homeless guy wins the lotto. Like, you know, what was your, is that justified? Like, obviously not. Like, you got to do your thing. And if you get lucky, you get lucky. You still got to put in the work, and because odds are you will do better that way.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, comparing yourself to what other people are doing is not going to change your situation. It's irrelevant for you, right? It's best for you to focus your efforts on yourself and on your growth. And when you wake up every day and are grateful that you're better than yesterday, that's a winning formula. You know, you might be even be happier than someone who is seemingly successful on Instagram, right? But if you're content with your progress, that's, you know, you've won life. That's all that matters.
Agreed.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is why I go around preaching to everybody that whack me is a lie, because it is. Oh, sorry, have I got rugged again there?
We hear you.
Cool, okay. That's good.
I'll be back in 2 minutes. Just got to run to the bathroom real quick.
Okay.
No problem. I was just thinking there when you were talking, Sesh, I was thinking like, I wish I had the reactions like you get on Twitter spaces so I can give the hundreds and the thumbs up and all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was spot on. But I think we're kind of almost talking, we're talking in a positive way about how people need to deal with the darker side of the space, which is people come in, a lot of people are here because they're enthusiastic and they might want to make a lot of money, but some people are actually really desperate. They're in a bad situation and they think this is the answer. And that's what leads them into sort of first this rush of optimism and then this kind of pit of despair when they realize it's not true. And you see a lot of that. I got a lot of new artists in my following, you know, people that are just starting out, which is lovely because I love chatting to them. But you see people getting disillusioned and I'm thinking, just don't give up, guys. You just got to keep going, you know. You've got to work hard and just do it. Turn up every day and you will get there. I was just going to say, someone said to me, I'm still kind of new. I've been here 6 months. And I was like, me too. So we're new together. And
six months is like 6 years damn near.
Exactly. But anyway, sorry, you were about to jump in.
I was just going to say, going along with your point, right? Even when I first got into NFTs, I was kind of like, why are these big people promoting these other artists? I have better work than them. And it's like easy to fall into that trap, but you don't realize that those, the artists that influencer just promoted, they've been talking every day for the past 8 months and they've built a relationship. And guess what? That influencer was grinding on Clubhouse a year and a half ago, promoting NFTs. So it just goes back to what we were saying, right? We don't know what's been going on behind the scenes, but that's why I love Twitter Spaces, right? Because it kind of pulls that veil back and people are actually openly talking about what they did to get to that position and being vulnerable with all the, you know, struggles that they had to overcome. And that's really, you know, humanizing the grind, basically, where it's not just you going on Instagram and seeing the highlights or whatever, right? It's like just seeing Lambos, diamond watches and stuff. You know, I love Drift for that reason. One of the top photographers, like he puts on a masterclass on how to share your story and on how you can kind of weaponize your struggle to your advantage.
Yeah, it's
the, yeah.
It's
I mean,
solidarity of of Twitter Spaces.
Mm-hmm. Ella, you were saying something?
No, I was just going to say that's really, really important what he's doing, because it is all about using your story in the right way. I mean, I do always caution people, just maybe because of the kinds of guys I'm talking to who are new. I do always say to them, be so careful about what you put out there about yourself, because, you know, there are bad people in the space. And if you say, like, if you admit a vulnerability or something, you could potentially be manipulated. But if you get that story right and you tell it as a story of empowerment that you tell to yourself, the thing that makes you get up in the morning and actually the thing that makes you strong at the end of the day, I think that's kind of where you want to go with it, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Moishi, how are we for time? I just need to check in on that.
Yeah, I think we're good for time.
Yeah, I love this conversation, guys. You know, kind of just like three buddies talking about what we always talk about anyway.
that's kind of the idea of the pod, you know, just to this format that we do here, you know, on Zoom. I think I might go off Zoom soon. I'm looking into riverstar.fm and a few other like similar kind of tools. Better position for podcasting.
Right. I don't know if you know who Crypto Novo is. He does a bunch of podcasts, but that's mainly more live stream. I don't know if he records, but I think it's restream.io that he uses. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into it, but I'll message you if I find something.
Awesome. I'm looking into innovating in a space and a lot of different ways, a lot of different projects. Most notably, there's my company, Maishi Media, that I formed is for, that it's a media company with the primary focus is to educate, entertain, and inform the public, from all levels, you know, from newbies to veterans in the space. So that's the Unworkable podcast. And I'll say now, that's the first time that I'm actually saying it to anybody. The blog, Alpha Reads. Uh-huh. And there's a Discord server that is almost completed as well. So that is, so there's a lot of things there that we're making. And the blog is going to be something fantastic. That was, the blog is something crazy.
Some alpha being dropped, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, love for it. Sure.
Love it. Love it.
Listen, you know, appreciate you you hopping on here.
Of course. Thanks. You know, thanks for including me. Great conversation, Ella. You know, lovely talking to you. I need to drop you a follow on Twitter too. So just message me.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
with love. Yeah, for sure. Akil, Ella has Twitter Spaces, like I think twice a week now.
I'll definitely, you know, try to pop in.
Thank you.
Yeah, just my DMs are open if you want to just DM me.
That's so cool, man. Thank you so much. It was really lovely to meet you and speak with you. That's so cool.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Love to the Unragul podcast.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you so much.
Ella, nice to meet you. Have a great one. Moishi, as always, my man. Have a great one.
Have a great night, guys. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Another great episode.
If you haven't already, find us on social media at Unruggable Pod on all socials and subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, or favorite podcasting platform.